Such an honor to be with you tonight. If you don't know who I am, my name is Mike Caulfield. I am the missions and outreach pastor here at Promised Land. We've been at Promised Land for about, I think it's close to 11 years now that we've been here. It's hard to believe. Our kids have grown up here. You know, my son, Emilio, Pastor Emilio, he he was in high school when we started coming here, and he was a part of youth here, and see what God is doing in him. Didn't he preach an outstanding message last week? And I want to encourage everyone, if you don't know, you can always go to our website, psmchurch.com. You can go to our archive section if you want to say, and you can view sermons from the past that are posted each week. I want to encourage you to do that, and want to welcome those that are online and those folks that are in the building as well. We believe that the Bible tells us that we're the church. This is a building, okay? This is a building, and like Pastor Robin said, where two or three are gathered, there he is. And so we believe that Jesus is right with you where you're at, no matter where it is, no matter what time you're watching. We believe that he's with you, and we believe that he's going to speak to you. But I also want to say for those that are online, I need your help in this message. I need you to not only share this, the reason why we share this is because there's folks that will never step into a building simply because they feel judged or they feel whatever the case may be. But I want to encourage you to share it because I believe that God has a word for somebody tonight. And, you know, we've been talking about this fear factor. And it continually bombards us. So I want to start out with a question. And I believe that I already know the answer, but I want you to be truthful with me. Those that are watching online, you can give me that hands up emoji when I ask this. How many of you are tired of the negativity that's all around you? Raise your hand. I see two hands. I see a foot trying to be raised. I see all this. You can put your hands down. The reality is that it's so, Erica, you hit it on the nail. You hit the head on the nail because you talked about that it's all around us and it can consume us. And if you look everywhere, it seems like no matter what, there's people getting sick. There's people tragically dying. This nation is divided. Our economy is going south, as one would say. And it's so easy for us to get sucked into the negativity and to the fear and to the fact that it's overwhelming everybody. And it seems like everywhere you look, there's nothing but bad news, right? No matter where you look, it's nothing but bad news. Any news station you turn on, guess what? Everybody, for whatever reason, we feed off negativity. It's news. It like spreads like wildfire. Bad news does. And it seems to consume us everywhere we go. And it's so easy to get sucked into this negativity and the anxiety that's overwhelming so many people. And it seems like folks are emotionally on edge, and they're easily angered, and they're easily discouraged. And I made an analogy that this 6-foot distance that we're supposed to have to stop the spread of this virus, I also think that it's to stop the spread of this anger. Simply because we get so close to folks and people, I can't tell you how many people that we've talked to that are having so many problems in their relationship, in their homes, whatever the case may be, because they're confined. And so they let this continue to ramp up in their life, and they start to thinking, can I ever survive from this? Can we ever have some kind of normality back into our life? Is this earth going to ever come back to something meaningful? And if I'm honest with you, which I'm going to be, if I'm honest with you, I can tell you that I've been asking God, help me to see the good in all of this bad. Help me to have a perspective of faith. Help me to have a positive attitude, because no one is exempt from getting sucked in. There's not a single person that is exempt from getting sucked into this negativity. And if we're truthful here, In some way, shape, or fashion, we all have been sucked in at one time in our life to the negativity that's around us. Guess what? It's a part of life. And it will continue to be till the day we die. There will be something negative in our life. I hate to bring it to you, but there will be. Actually, I don't hate to. I want you to understand that there will be negativity in your life. But I can honestly tell you this, that a negative outlook never, ever leads to a positive life. I'm going to say it one more time. A negative outlook never leads to a positive life. And what I want to do tonight is I want to show you how or why you and I, even in the middle of this negativity that's all around us, how you and I can have an unshakable optimism about our future, that we can have an attitude of faith, that we can look for the good in the middle of the bad, that we can believe that God is still on the throne because he is on the throne. We can believe that God is still in control because he still is in control. We can believe that he's with us every step of the way and he's working through every situation for our future good. How do we know this? How do we know this? How do we know this? Because Paul says this. Well, let me get back to this. Hold on, let me say something real quick. If I was going to title this message, I would simply title this message, Enough of the Bad News. Enough of the Bad News. And what does optimism mean, and how does it coincide with the Bible? Well, if you look at the dictionary tells us that optimism is hopefulness and a confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. That's what the dictionary tells us. But let me tell you what optimism is not. It's not a denial of reality. It's not saying that everything's good, that we think everything's okay, there's nothing wrong. It's not blind faith, having naive hope or wishful thinking that everything's going to be all right and we don't have to do anything. I'm here to tell you tonight that even in the bad news that's all around us, even in the negativity that's all around us, we can be hopeful and we can be confident that our future is secure in God, that he's working everything out for our future good. Again, how do we know this? Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is our key scripture for tonight. And he says, and we know that in all things, everybody say all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, what he's saying that even in the negative situations that we're facing today, we can live with an unwavering expectation that God is working through everything, that we can trust that he's in control, like I said. And so what I want us to do for a moment is I want us all to pause. And I want your mind to start thinking. I want you to think about, and this may be a weird question, I'm going to explain it, what you think about. What is your thought process to your future? Is it always negativity, or is it trusting God? Because the reality is this, what consumes your mind tends to control your life. And see, Proverbs tells us this. It tells us, as a man or as a person thinks in his heart, so he becomes. And so what that is telling us is that your life is generally moving in the directions of your strongest thoughts. And if your mind is set on all this negativity and the fear and worry and anxiety, it's obviously bad news, right? And if you're always worrying about the economy so bad and you can't trust nobody and I hate my current circumstance, I promise you what, that today is not going to be the day that you say, wow, man, this was the best day of my life. I promise you, you're not going to do that. Because what starts to happen is we start to look through a pessimistic lens. And we start to say, nothing is ever going to go my way. It's always going to be this way. This world is all messed up. Nothing's going to change. Everything's going to, 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 to be bad, and this economy's bad, and I'm never going to get the job I've ever had, and guess what else? H-E-B or Sam's is never going to have the toilet paper that I need. And we know you need it. We all do. Or maybe it's this virus is unstoppable, or that I'm never going to be safe. This world is always going to be is never going to be safe again, and I'm always going to have to wear a mask. That's the thought process. But can I tell you something? Being content and being satisfied and being blessed and being optimistic is not a state of affairs. It's a state of mind. It's a state of mind. Because what controls your mind controls your life. And my prayer for you tonight, from this moment forward, is that you begin to feed your faith and you starve your fears. That's my hope tonight. Because why? Why is that? Because whatever you feed tends to grow. And whatever you starve tends to die. Whatever you feed tends to grow. And whatever you starve tends to die. And what I want to do personally, I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself, is that I want to starve those negative voices that's robbing me of my potential joy. And what I want to do is I want to feed my faith and trust that God is in control. And what's helped me in difficult times, and I promise you it will help you, is the Word of God. There was a pastor that said one time, get the Word of God in you when you don't need it, because when you do, you can speak it over your life. And there's one specific chapter that has really, really spoken to me. And I encourage you to write this down. If you don't have a piece of paper, write it on your hand. Whatever you can do, write this chapter down. It's Romans chapter 8. But we can't look at the context of chapter 8 without looking at chapter 7. This is written from, Paul is writing to the Romans. And in chapter 7, and I believe we all could relate to this, Paul makes this rant and he starts telling folks, man, I'm just messed up. I'm screwed up. I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I'm not doing. I'm just messed up. And then he gets to chapter 8. And it's almost as if Paul is talking himself out of this negativity, and he's talking himself out of this dysfunction and even the sinfulness of his life. And he starts to have this mind shift. He starts to renew his mind. And in verse 1, just the very first verse in chapter 8, he says, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But wait a minute, he just said he's all messed up and everything. And maybe you're sitting here or you're watching online and you're simply thinking that your past defines you. Well, guess what? Your past does not define you, because Jesus took all those sins to the cross so that you and I could have life. And if you keep on reading, what Paul is doing is he's feeding his faith and he's starving his fear. And then if you get to verse 6, it says, if you're focused on the Spirit, your mind will be at peace. Again, you're starving your fear and you're feeding your faith. And so I know that many of you sitting here or watching online or you're listening to this podcast, and you're facing job loss, you're facing times that you've never expected to ever face in your life. Guess what? We all are. And you're worried that you're sick or you're going to get sick. You got family members that are sick. You got family members that are battling diseases and viruses. And I know, trust me, I understand that it's really hard to see the good and focus on the Spirit when everything is falling apart around you. But even in a negative situation, it still holds the potential to produce a positive purpose. Even in a negative situation, if you'll just do what Paul says, if you'll just focus on the Spirit, your mind will be at peace. Trust me in this. Trust me in this. I'm going to talk, Pastor Robin mentioned it earlier. You see, when this pandemic started, when we started hearing about this, I can honestly tell you I was the first one to say, oh, man, it's just another form of the flu. There ain't no reason for folks to get uptight about it. Oh, we'll be fine. Everything will be okay. Well, then in hours, we go from having service, then we go to not having service, then we're having to figure out what we're going to do and find new methods. And I can honestly tell you I begin to get fearful. I begin to say, God, what are we going to do in this? And then numbers start escalating. And then I have a son that is in college 4.5 hours away, and he's going to come home, and something just told me, hey, go up there and help Cody move back. Move some of his stuff back, even though he wasn't going to come back till May. So I drive up after staff meeting. I go up there. I load him up. We start loading stuff, and he gets out of work at 10 p.m., and we just loaded the unnecessary stuff, if you want to say, because we as parents want to give him everything that he can, and he's only in a little small space, and so it was just piled up everywhere. And so anyway, so we load up, and we drive back and get back about 3 in the morning, 2:33. And then the very next day, he gets this, hey, we're going to extend spring break. Well, his spring break was a week before what was happening here. And I told him, I said, Cody, I don't think this thing is over. I think it's just begun. I think we need to go back on Saturday and get your stuff. So we went back to the 14th of March, and we load up all of his stuff. He's battling. They're not letting him out of his lease. I mean, I'm just telling you all this, trying to be transparent with you. And then all this stuff happens. I can honestly tell you that what we've done is I wasn't a hoarder, I promise you. We had some of this stuff. We had hand sanitizer because I'm kind of somewhat of a germaphobe, if you want to say. And, you know, we had hand sanitizer and gloves and alcohol. I mean, rubbing alcohol, not the other stuff. We had rubbing alcohol. And I carried in my truck. If my truck was here, you would see. We closed our circle. Zoom is a great platform. I didn't even see my family, my extended family, meaning my brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws, even my older kids. We didn't see them. We Zoomed. Fear. This fear was rampant. I keep asking God, help me in this. Well, we were told that when we open back up, what's going to happen? It's going to spike. People are so eager to get out that they got complacent. I was one of them. So it's the first weekend last month of June the 7th, we go to a birthday party. I, you know, would carry a mask, would wear a mask, I'd wear gloves, but I didn't this time. In my mind, I was thinking it was going to be outside, but it didn't matter. I was complacent. Come to find out 2 days later, I hear that somebody got sick. They tested positive. And my very first thought was, oh, my word, what are people going to think? That's my first thought. What are people going to think? 2 days later, actually, really 3 days, because it was early morning on Tuesday, I started feeling like this kind of allergies. I'm like, oh, man, something's up. I don't have allergies, but something's up. So I start taking Mucinex, and I start taking Zyrtec. Come Friday morning, late Thursday night, early Friday morning, I wake up with this very, very high fever. And I said, God, am I going to die? I'm being transparent with you. And so that Friday morning, I go to get tested, and I see other people that I was at this party with that are there also getting tested. And I wasn't educated. I just educated about testing. I'm just like, man, hurry up so I can go home and go to bed because I just feel like junk. So I took the antibodies test. I did the finger prick. I waited 5 hours to get my finger pricked. I was like, man, I could have done that myself and gave you the blood for that. Everybody else did the swab test. I could not shake this fever at all. Body aches. I can't even really explain how bad I felt. Sunday the 14th, I get tested. Guess what? It came back positive. Don't get me wrong. I didn't hide it. I let other people, everybody that I could remember that I was in contact with, I let them know. I wasn't here, so you're safe. Well, not only was I isolated, my whole family was isolated in the house. I call it my prison door because I was in my room, never left my room, had a bathroom. That's all I had. When they would bring food, they'd sit it at the door. If I'd had a hole, it probably went under the door. But the funny part, I would laugh. I didn't know whether to run out and say, unclean, 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 because all I heard was Lysol being sprayed everywhere as soon as I opened the door and shut it. True story. She can tell you it really did happen. But I isolated myself, never came out of the room, nothing. God began to speak to me. I said, God, help me in this. I can't see it. I feel so bad right now. Others didn't have the same symptoms, and I'm not a hypochondriac or exaggerating. I really did not feel good. I couldn't breathe, or I had shortness of breath, I should say. I lost my sense of smell, lost my sense of taste, had a headache. And finally, the fever went away. But what began to speak to me was Romans chapter 8. And Paul. Paul knew everything about suffering. Paul knew it all. Just a little bit about him. He was in prison multiple times. He had 40 lashes 5 different times. He was stoned, not for medical reasons. He was stoned with real stones, okay? That was supposed to be a joke. Y'all were supposed to laugh. That's okay. He was betrayed. He was beaten, left for dead. He didn't even look like he was even alive. But then verse 18, this is what he said. The man that knew all about suffering. Verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What this scripture told me was that the struggles I'm in today is producing strength that I need for tomorrow. That's what that scripture was telling me. And so the trials and the struggles is not even worth comparing to what God's going to do. So I begin to starve my fear, and I start feeding my faith. And then I read on to verse 26 when he says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I needed that. I needed to hear it. And I believe that some of you need to hear it, whether you're in the room or you're online. I believe you need to hear that the Spirit is going to help you in your weaknesses. So I let the Word of God start to renew my mind because my life is always moving what? In the direction of my strongest thoughts. So I start telling myself that He will never leave me nor forsake me, that His Spirit helps me when I am weak, when I am broken. And His Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in me. So I start feeding my faith. Sorry about the spit zone. That's why I stepped back here. There was a little spit there. Sorry about that. For those of you that are feeling weak and overwhelmed and discouraged, or you're feeling like you can't make it anymore, you're in a great place. Because the Bible tells you this, that He's your comforter. That's what the Bible tells you. It says, if you're confused, that He's your guide. If you find yourself discouraged, He's your hope. If you find yourself anxious, He's your peace. So if you're weak, what we just read was that He's your strength. So again, I starve my fear and I feed my faith. And then we get to verse 28. Again, we're going to reference that again. And he says, and we know that in all things, there's no ending to the all things. It's all things, in the good things, in the bad things, in the days that I love, in the days that I hate, in the days that I endure, in the days that are uncomfortable. In all things, He's working for your future good. In all things, no matter what it is. I may not like what I'm going through, but I appreciate the fact that He's strengthening me through this. And He's going to work for my future good. God is working in all things. In all things. The Bible tells us that he can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine or think, however you want to do it. According to what? According to his power. Not my power, his power. Enough with the bad news. Enough with the bad news. So I starve my fear and I feed my faith. And in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, it says this. For I am convinced that nothing, say nothing, can ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Enough with the bad news. Because the reality is you can't control there's very little that you can control. Why don't you trust that God is in control? Why don't you feed your faith and starve your fears? He's got everything in control. So rather than be consumed by fear and anxiety, I begin to feed my faith. I trust that he's working in all things. Whenever I'm discouraged and weak, I focus on his spirit because his spirit is what's helping me in my weakness. I may not see him, but I know he's present. I may not like what's going on, but I know he's working on it. And if I just trust him, and I'm going to end with this scripture. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says this. For God has not given us a spirit of what? He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Enough with the bad news. Starve your fear and feed your faith. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. I just thank you. God, that your word will speak over us, that will continually speak over us, that we don't have to succumb to the fear or anxiety or the depression or the negative news that's all around us. God, we can trust you. Lord, I pray for every single person that's in this building or watching online or listening to this podcast right now. God, I pray right now that something supernatural happens in their life. God, that they begin to trust that you are in control, that they don't have to subject themselves to the fear that's all around them because they know that negativity will always be around them. God, help them to feed their faith and starve their fear. Lord, if there's anyone at the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, God, that's just tuning in right now or in this building, Lord, I pray that they would give their life to you, that they would simply say, God, I'm sorry. I want a new life in you. I'm tired of the life that I have. I'm tired of the way that I'm going, the way my life is going. God, help us to be new in you. Lord, that the relationship would start right now. God, we know we're going to face situations. Your word says it. We're going to face things. But God, it's to help us to endure everything that's going on. Your spirit is helping us right now. I pray for a fresh fire in every single heart right now. I pray, God, that you move like never before right now, that our focus would be on you, that we wouldn't just come on a Sunday or watch online just to play church, God, that we would truly fall in love with you. And God, that we would be led by you in every aspect of our life. God, I pray for a surrender, a heart of surrender, a spirit of release that would happen right now. God, that we would give our life to you and stop focusing on the things that doesn't even matter. Lord, that we would trust you. That we would completely be sold out to you. God, have your way in our life. Lord, remove anything that's in my life that doesn't line up with you. Any fear that does that's trying to take control of me, God, I pray it's released right now. Let your word penetrate our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.